With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're not the same as anyone, but we can take it. We're sure to burn around, or we quit. I've got a feeling we're onto something here.
Deborah Francis White, and this is Global Pillage, the comedy panel show in which we pillage the globe for the most implausible habits, irrational fears, and adorable sayings of the human race. Whether you celebrate Christmas, the winter solstice, Hanukkah, or the death anniversary of Zarathustra, you're welcome to Global Pillage, where the name of the game is diversity. Footnote, not the actual name, that's Global Pillage. On my right, playing for Team Ecuador, Sarah Pascoe and Steen Raskopoulos. And on my left, playing for The Gift to the Show, Radu Isaac and Sadia Azmat. So, firstly, Steen Raskopoulos, why is your team called Team Ecuador?
Well, I think because I'm from Australia and Sarah lives here, obviously, we wanted like a middle point.
Right, so you're meeting in the middle. And Steen, how are you diverse?
I think I'm tall.
It must be so hard for you.
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
So you're a tall, handsome white man.
Oh, you just said the last bit, but I'll just say tall. I'll take tall.
Yeah, absolutely. You're Australian, though.
I'm Australian, yeah.
So you're an immigrant to these shores.
I am definitely. But my father is Greek, so I've got a bit of Greek in me as well, so...
Are you single?
I'm married.
Oh, well, you're wasting my time.
Okay.
Sarah Pascoe, how are you diverse?
I'm single.
Hey!
No, I'm not married.
You're not married?
No.
Okay, so there's still
on the
hope.
Form, I'm single.
You're single. On the dance floor, you're
on
rubbish.
On the dance floor, I'm untouchable.
How are you diverse?
I'm not. I am.
You're not, you're a woman.
I'm in the middle of every Venn diagram.
In a very real way.
Well, I'm a very, very alpha woman.
Yes, you're...
Which is almost man. Alpha woman is like a meager man.
We are definitely going to get tweets about the gender binary issue.
Oh, I'm a cis woman.
No, because we do get tweets. Because if you're an inclusive show, people who are often excluded listen, and then they explain to you how you're not being inclusive.
Yeah.
And they're right to do that.
No, they are right to do it, and it is a discussion, and let's all just shout at each other on the same team.
Exactly. So please tweet in and tell Sarah Pascoe why she was wrong to say everything she said.
It's true.
Sadia Azmat, how are you diverse?
I'm vegetarian. No, I'm kind of brown, so yeah, that and the vegetarian.
You're vegetarian, you're Asian.
I'm not really vegetarian, sorry, that was a lie.
What?
I like meat. But I'm trying to go off it.
Radu Isaac, how are you diverse?
So I'm a white man, but I am Romanian. I'm from the Moldavia part of Romania, which is kind of like the Georgia part here. So I speak two languages, but both of them with a funny accent.
Making sure none of these facts are too much fun, please welcome in Pedant's Corner our lovable doctrinaire, Ned Sedgwick.
Hello.
And on keyboard and vocals, the throbbingly talented Mark Hodge. Ned Sedgwick, what makes you diverse?
I always find this question quite hard, but I wrote down some notes, and I am an openly gay, former Olympic fencer and an enemy of the state. No, sorry, it's someone else. I am middle class, really. I'm actually just kind of perfectly middle class. There's no diversity at all. So I think I worked out that you brought me on the show to take the piss out of me. Oh. So there you go.
No, I don't see you as a manifestation of the patriarchy at all. I've never said that. Aren't you 1/8 Indian?
Technically, yeah, but no one ever believes me, so I kind of... And people, when I said that on one of the shows before, were like, you're not getting away with that, Ned. I said, no, I am. They're like, well, listen to your voice. Even on a podcast, people can tell you're not.
also, technically, Queen Victoria was Indian as the Empress of India, so it seems like you're that kind of Indian.
Yeah. Mark Hodge, how are you diverse?
Well, at the moment, I'm wearing two hats simultaneously and pulling it off. I've never been an Olympic fencer, more's the pity, because that looks like jolly good fun, but I am sort of openly gay, which is like being gay, only I don't know what openly gay is. It's like a kind of gay which is worse than normal gay. It's like impervious to sunlight and insecticides. I don't know.
On every episode of Global Pillage, our hive uses its mind to create a special piece of what we call music, unique to the show. Over to you, Mark.
Yes, so we need letters from A to G, please.
G.
Oh, it's going to be a minor one. We might have to change it. Sorry?
B.
It's definitely going to be a minor one.
C.
So we could do that. Oh, that's lovely. Well done. Well done, sir. I need one more.
D.
Got to harmonise it. Hang on one sec.
What are the stars next?
Haven't changed.
This is our special Christmas and the Like episode. The first round is on Christmas and the Like. All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first with the correct answer. The hive mind gets a chance to answer after both teams of comedians have answered. Fingers on buzzers. In Catalonia, in Spain, households bring a wooden log into their home from the 8th of December to Christmas Day. What must the family do with it? Oh, gift to the show.
They have to sit on it. Because they take all the chairs out of the house on the 8th of December.
They take chairs out of the house and they sit on the log.
Yes, to commemorate the fact that in ancient Catalonia they didn't have chairs.
Team Ecuador, do you have an answer?
It's so hard when they got it exactly right. I guess we have to think of something. What about...
It was the 8th of December, wasn't that?
Yeah,
one?
The 8th of December, they bring a log into their house until Christmas Day. What do they do with that log?
It's pretty chilly in Catalonia through December, and so I think maybe they can't bring all the trees indoors, so they bring in a piece of a tree to keep him warm so he can tell the others in January how nice it is to live in a house.
Yeah, it creates the Christmas spirit amongst the forest.
Yeah, and also it gives trees the ambition to evolve further into walking, breathing animals who can build huts and houses.
And the people are the equivalent of like the Santa Claus. They're like, oh, from the 8th, he comes and picks you up and takes you into a house.
Yeah, they love humans. Yeah.
So the trees all hope to be picked.
Yep.
Like it's a Santa-y thing, like you're going to go and get to be inside in the warm.
And they think we're magic.
Look, what are they making the huts from?
Oh. I'm so glad you asked. Bricks.
Or the dead relatives of the lucky log. Kive Mind in Catalonia, why do they bring a wooden log into the house?
They use it to cross off the rings through the centre and count down the days until Christmas. Ah, if the log's too big, they sometimes can't open the presents until February.
Anything else, Kive Mind? Yes?
Carve it into something, like a decoration tree or something.
They carve it into a decoration.
It's a Yule log.
Yule log, yes. Expand, please.
They eat it. Put it.
It's a symbol of the great things that come from nature.
Symbol of the great things that come from nature.
There are better things in nature's defence.
Anything else?
With having a ship, because in the nativity scene in Catalonia,
yes, it is. It is something to do with that. Expand.
Tell them it's something to do with that.
I am telling them.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm not going to tell you. She asked me.
It's nothing to do with that.
She said, is it something to do with? And I got seduced. Yes.
Don't I know it now?
Well, it's too late because the hive. You know it now because the hive might have told you.
No, because I did another Christmas panel show and this was a question.
Sadly. Too late. So, Hivemind, could you expand on that?
I think it must be symbolic of, perhaps it's symbolic of the small ship in the whole house rather than in the nativity scene. The ship's bigger, so it's in the form of the log, maybe.
Is there anything? No, don't ask her. She's not allowed to comment anymore. She wants to and she can't. Any other expansion on that idea? Yes?
You fill it with nougat and then you hit it with sticks to make it ship the...
Okay, all right, let's go through the motions. Cross. Wasn't even deliberate, gang. If it's count off the rings, buzz now. You know it isn't, because I've given it away. Carve it into a decoration, buzz now. Yule log, buzz now. Is it a large defecation? Or is it you put nougat in it and then you hit it with sticks and then the little defecations come out? Buzz now. It's very similar to that. The family have to keep it warm and they pretend to feed it and then finally they beat it on Christmas Day so that it craps out presents. Ned, can you explain anything more about that?
The really weird thing is no one can really explain it, and there is this other thing in their nativity scenes. They always put kind of little figurines of popular figures like the Pope or kind of David Bowie taking a dump in the corner. Like, it's so weird. And there's no explanation.
They make the log look like a person. Yeah. They put eyes on it and everything. And then the children feed it.
So, you could say it's kind of like scatological.
Yeah.
Oh! It's a bit like South Park's Mr. Hankey, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's where that comes from.
They beat it up to make it literally shit itself. It's so weird.
Absolutely.
Well, not weird. It's an interesting cultural quirk. Of which I'm sure we have many that other cultures find.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if you were from another country hearing that we tell our children that a man comes down their chimney in the night, breaks into their house through the chimney, which then makes the child think, well, that could happen any night of the year with a bad man or woman.
Imagine a religion where you tell people God is watching them at all times.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
And that the main icon is a man being tortured to death. Yeah. I mean, that's weird. And really as weird as... You know, this makes the Christmas log look inviting and normal.
That's a silly bit of fun.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
What common phobia would you not wish to have in Albania at Christmas and why? Team Ecuador.
The fear of Albanians.
Fear of Albanians.
Yes.
You wouldn't want to have that at Christmas or any time of the year, really, would you, Sarah Paskin?
Christmas is the worst because they get together in groups. Individually, they're terrifying. As a group, don't even talk about it.
Gifts to the show.
I'm thinking you have to not have a phobia of presents because Albanians celebrate Christmas just as anybody else, and you shouldn't have a fear of Albanians.
That would be a tricky fear for anybody.
I don't like getting or giving presents. I hate that.
Do you? Do you hate getting or giving them?
Yeah.
Hide the presents
to the
cast.
It's a bad time to say, Radu, but I didn't give anything.
Maybe it's more specific. Maybe it's not just getting presents. It's getting presents in alphabetical order of country of origin.
Aha. Hive mind, do you have anything better than that?
No.
What common phobia would you not wish to have in Albania at Christmas and why?
Clowns.
Old white men. I think I have that phobia sometimes.
I think they're sexy. The other end of the scale.
Clowns, old white men, anything else?
Going outside.
Going outside. Why is that?
Maybe all the celebrations are outside.
The celebrations are outside. Okay. Buzz, if you think it's clowns, old white men, going outside. Okay, they've gone for old white men. It is, in fact, fear of spiders. And that's because they decorate their Christmas trees with fake spiders and webs due to a legend about a woman who was too poor to decorate her tree. And when she woke up, a spider had done it for her. With glorious webs. That lovely?
What an awful Christmas. That's the worst. Oh, thanks, spider. You ruined the one thing I had, which was that tree.
She didn't feel that way, Sarah. She was grateful.
Well,
but
there's something seriously wrong with her.
No, Sarah, she was poor, and you don't know about that, so...
I still never got spiders to decorate shit.
You weren't that poor.
I shoplifted.
That's what she should have done. She should have shoplifted some tinsel.
The spider would still have ruined it. He didn't know it was an empty tree.
Let's not, again, be gender binary.
Actually, only spiders that are female can make webs, so it is definitely a she.
It was definitely a she.
Yeah,
okay.
Boys don't have the thread come out of their butthole.
Oh, is that right?
As a friend of a spider, I can confirm this.
Ned, do you know any more about this?
One of the things I find interesting about this, and in the spirit of inclusivity, and this isn't, Albania is a majority Muslim country. And so it's this kind of, you know, everyone celebrates Christmas and it's just a nice, you know, thing, really. Not a joke, as I said, maybe I should have made one.
During the Roman festival of Saturnalia, held on 25th of December, what happened to slaves? During the Roman festival of Saturnalia, held on the 25th of December, what happened to slaves? This is ancient Rome. Gift the show.
They were made to give gifts and receive gifts from their owners. And that added extra social pressure to them.
There was social pressure because they had to exchange presents with their masters and they didn't have as big a budget.
Exactly, and they couldn't be overshun by the masters.
Oh. Also, the masters always did a really funny joke where they were like, open it, and it was empty. Like, it's your freedom. Ha ha, Christmas prank.
Oh, this is a sad story.
But yes, slavery was sad. It continues to be in many places.
Steen, is that your final answer?
I think I know the real answer. Can Steen do a joke answer and then I do the real answer?
Yeah.
Saturnalia. Oh boy, listen here. This is obviously famous when Satan would pop up just for one day of the year and just say hello.
Satan popped up?
Yep.
How did that affect the slaves?
Oh, they got a bit sad. They're like, oh, what's Satan doing here? We've got to get back to work. Okay. And he's like, let's go play. Like,
just
the
just to be clear, Seed, it's Saturnalia, yeah. Like Saturn the planet, not Satanalia.
They couldn't pronounce it correctly either.
It's not, just not Saturnalia. It's not like Devilalia, it's Saturnalia.
Oh, you guys say yogurt, we say yogurt. What's that?
So you think you might have a real answer, Sarah?
Yeah, do you want to... Okay, there you go. I'm confident, but whatever.
No, I think... Wasn't it they gave all of the slaves their birthday on that day? That was all of their birthdays.
And what, they got a birthday present? Christmas was only one.
They didn't get a present. She was like, happy birthday, guys.
Oh, because I've got a December birthday and you do often get a double. You get, it's boring.
You're not a slave in ancient Rome.
I am not, but you're not a poor old woman who can't afford to decorate a tree. So.
Okay. Holes in our personalities. We need to work
on. Okay, Hive Mind. What do you think? Yes?
They got to swap places with the masters.
Correct.
The day and have their masters.
We've got a slave button here.
So a woman in the audience said they got to swap places with their masters, and a man in the audience endorsed that. You are a greater authority. Okay, so Hive Mind, you're going to go for swap places with the masters. You are correct. Diversity works. How did you know this?
I'm a classicist.
You're a classicist. This is why it's the top classicist in the audience.
To be able to say.
Yes.
Also, they did this at the Flintstones at one point. It was a storyline of an episode. The Flintstones took place during the Roman times.
No, it didn't. It was prehistoric, famously. No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
I'd love it if the Flintstones was on a classical syllabus, though. At university.
And it's the end of the round.
Well, Team Ecuador and the Gift of the Show have no points, and the Hive Mind is storming ahead with 20 points.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
The next round is everyone's favourite round.
Idioms!
What is the meaning of this foreign phrase which we have literally translated into English? Fingers on buzzers. In Poland they say, did you fall from the Christmas tree? What do they mean? Team Ecuador.
Male spider.
Yeah.
Are you a male spider?
Or is it like that, you know, those pickup lines? Like, are you an angel because you've just fallen from heaven? Is it one of those ones?
Ah, it's a pickup line.
Yeah.
Did you just fall from the Christmas tree because you're a fairy?
Yeah, you're the Christmas star because you're the star in my floor.
It's good, good work.
Tell them my wife.
Yeah, good. The good thing you married. The gift to the show.
It's close to what the equator said. It's kind of like a Christmas decoration that fell from the tree, so like a star or like the angel on the top. Only in Poland, it's sausages.
Did you fall from the Christmas tree, so are you a sausage?
Exactly.
Because they decorate their tree with sausages.
And also, it's a compliment in Poland. You're basically calling somebody a sausage, but that means they're delicious.
Okay, so
they're well endowed.
Oh, okay. So did you fall from the Christmas tree means, wow, you've got a large package, because what they put in their Christmas trees are large sausages. Okay, hive mind, what do you think it means? If someone in Poland said to you, did you fall from the Christmas tree, what would they be meaning?
It's an insult.
It's an insult. What kind of insult?
Because if they fall from the Christmas tree, it infers that they're largely decorative.
Ah, so if it's an insult, if it infers they're largely decorative if they've fallen from the Christmas tree. So you're a useless decoration, because that's true, actually. Decorations are useless in all other ways. They don't do anything else. They've no other function.
Yeah, but if your only function is to be pretty, and you are pretty, and I'm not just getting defensive about things that are very vapid and good-looking. I mean, what else do you want? Well, if you could be functional or beautiful, what would you choose?
Both.
But yeah, but you've only been offered one.
I just said you had to choose one.
Oh, that's a typical Gen Y answer. Anything else have mind?
Naive, like were you born yesterday?
Naive, like were you born yesterday?
Not being very festive.
You're not being very festive. Oh, you fell off the tree. Did you fall off the Christmas tree? You're not being very festive.
If you're drunk.
You're drunk. What were you doing on the Christmas tree in the first place?
Your glass and you fall to the floor and you're smashed, basically.
Ah, you're smashed. You fall off the Christmas tree and you're smashed. Okay, hive mind. Do you think it means you're smashed, you're drunk? Not being very festive, buzz now. Naive, buzz now. Insult, you're largely decorative, not very bright. That is basically correct. You're an idiot and you're showing it. Yes, very good, hive mind. What are the origins of this, Ned?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's, you know, did you fall over? You look like an idiot. You look like a broken Christmas decoration. Now, shockingly, in Poland, Christmas decorations aren't sausages. Yeah.
No.
I was convinced.
I don't know which part of Poland you looked into.
Yeah, to be fair, it's probably my fault.
In Turkey, Christmassy.
Stop it.
No. In Turkey.
End of rant.
That was just the beginning of the question, Sarah. In Turkey, the country, festive, they say, to the raven's eye, its chickens look like falcons. What do they mean? Give to the show.
It means cannibalism is okay in Christmas.
Cannibalism is okay at Christmas.
Yeah. It's also either cannibalism or some sort of incest between falcons.
Incest?
Between
okay.
falcons. Only during Christmas it's kind of okay.
So during Christmas it's all right to have incest or eat relatives.
Yeah. But only like from cousins down.
Only from cousins down? What, exactly. That's specific. Team Ecuador, what's your answer?
Can you say what it is again?
To the raven's eye, okay. Its chickens look like falcons.
Is that meant to be chicks by any chance?
No.
That would make sense.
Oh, Tom, come and have a whisper.
Yeah. No, it's...
What is it?
Chickens is the word. So, yeah, but thanks for your interruption.
That's a clue, right? So could you repeat the question about we put chicks instead than chickens?
To the raven's eye, its chicks look like falcons.
Oh, I've got it now. we were talking about this the other day, actually.
Yeah. So it's to do with parenting.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the raven's kids.
Yeah, because like obviously you want like a really cool kid that can fly, who has great vision, but some of the chickens, they can't fly.
They also, they come out as eggs.
Yeah.
So the parents are often very disappointed at the beginning.
I wish I just had ravens in the box all the time.
So the first are like, these round little idiots. Oh, thank God.
Thank God I got a raven. Oh. Yeah.
That's the answer.
Great. Okay. Hive minds.
Was there an answer in that?
Weren't you listening then?
Yep. No.
I was
trying.
Next question.
Parenting. Okay. Parents are scared of their offspring.
I thought it was that one.
Parents are scared of their offspring. Okay. Hive mind.
Delusions of grandeur.
Delusions of grandeur.
No, if you're a mum, you just think your children are wonderful.
If you're a mum, you think your children are wonderful.
Can you text that to my mum?
Yeah.
When they're little.
Oh. Okay. Then will she be proud?
Okay, so we're going to go for delusions of grandeur, Buzz now. Or if you're a mum, you think your children are wonderful, Buzz now. That is correct. Thinks her baby is beautiful, so to a raven's eye, its little chickens look like falcons.
That's
apparently what ravens call their babies.
No.
Do you speak ravens? Do you know what ravens are saying to each other?
Deborah, on a previous show, you did say that there was no such thing as male swans. So I think your knowledge of biology. Perhaps...
I thought it was swans and what are the male swans called?
Well, the swans. It's a goose and a gander and a duck and.
I shouldn't have said that. Well, we worked our way through it, and I think we've got enough to get it
out. You know.
In Russia, maybe, they say, I'll show you where the crayfish spend winter. What do they mean? Team Ecuador.
You're nice, and I'm taking you to Barbados.
Give the show. In Russia, they say, I'll show you where the crayfish spend winter.
Can I ask, just off the record, what's a crayfish?
Lobster, crab, crayfish.
Probably don't ask Deborah. She'll probably say it's like a baby human.
It's a male swan.
Yeah. they sell them in a salad in Pret a Manger. I think they're a bit like prawns.
Like little lobsters. Little lobsters.
Yeah, yeah. That is it.
Seafood.
I
mean, it doesn't think of itself as seafood, and that's actually quite carnivore normative to call it seafood.
Yeah, to me, they're sea friends.
So they don't really eat them around the winter, but they do take them out of the cold and put them in the fridge. So it basically means...
I want to defrost you.
I want to defrost you. Right, I want to defrost you. Okay.
It basically means you're getting relocated. That's how they tell... Like, if they want to destroy a village in Russia, that's how they tell them...
You're getting relocated. When they come to destroy a village in Russia, they say, I'll exactly. show you where the crayfish spend
when
winter.
When they did the Sochi Olympics, they had to do that a lot.
They just said, I'll show you where the crayfish spend winter, and then they moved people on. Okay.
Exactly.
I think it's, I suspect you of being a homosexual, and I'm going to drown you. Oh. And a happy new year.
Hive mind? Yes?
I'll show you my white bits, like where the sun doesn't shine.
But that's everywhere in Russia. they're all completely white. Such a disappointing chat-up line.
I'll show you my white bits, i.e. where the sun don't shine. Anything else? Yes?
Is it like you're going to sleep with the fishes, like I'm going to marry you?
Yeah. Sleep with the fishes, like I'm going to
and
murder
how,
you.
And how would that sound in Russian? How would you say that in Russian?
I am going to
meditate. Okay, if you think it's, I'll show you my white bits. Buzz now. If you think it's sleep with the fishes, buzz now. It's actually get out of my sight or there will be trouble. So would you say then that that's a little bit like what...
Sierra said, yes, I would.
No. What Radu said.
Exactly.
I'm going to relocate you. Do you think that's...
I left that part out. They're getting relocated, but they're not getting new houses.
Well, you were very specific. And, yeah, I'll give you 5 points for the broad...
What?
Does that put us on second place?
Patronizing everyone. The audience have worked really hard getting the right answers. Let's respect the system.
Get out of my sight or there will be trouble. I'm going to relocate you.
It's nothing alike. I'm with Sarah. I've got one of my famous terms.
I mean, I've never had anyone more competitive on the show than Sarah Pascal, I'll be honest with you.
So if that was a competition, I won it.
I've got a badge for you for most competitive, number one most competitive, and I think you'll be very pleased to have that pinned on at a special ceremony.
Yes.
And it's the end of the round.
Team Ecuador and the gift of the show are still tied with no points.
We should have gotten like at least 2.5 points.
Well, not debatable. There's no debate. Not. And the hive mind really kind of basically already winning with 45 points. But it is a Christmas episode, so now every question the teams get is worth double points because I'm in that kind of mood.
Oh. The next round is the teams round. A member of each team has come prepared with an audience... Oh, no. Sorry, I didn't get much sleep this week, and I can feel it in my tongue.
What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
You know when your brain gets slow? Because...
Had a tired tongue before.
You know, your brain's... What? You know, words do funny things.
It's not a thing.
If your brain's tired, it's hard to get words out. A member of each team has come prepared with a question based on their cultural family background. Hopefully a bit of a festive one, if they read my email. Audience, if one of you has a question for one of the teams, that would be great. So, Team Ecuador, do you have a question for a gift to the show?
So my papu, it's like my Greek grandparents, either on Christmas Day or New Year's Day, depending on how they're feeling, they bake a pita, which is like a cheese pie, and they'll put something in the cheese pie for you to discover or to find. And whoever finds it...
No more clues.
...is a swan.
What do Steen's Greek grandparents put in a pie on Christmas Day?
But you want to find it. Like, everyone wants this.
I'm just
trying to... It's Christmas. It's Christmas.
Can we ask some questions to narrow it down? Is it edible?
You can eat it, potentially. I wouldn't, but you could.
I'm thinking if they're not bad grandparents, they just put money in the pie.
You can't eat that.
You can eat money.
Take any money.
I don't think you shit money afterward. Depends on if you eat coins or just paper money.
I don't think it's money.
Okay.
He said it's kind of edible.
kind of edible.
Oh, I just said, like, oh, you know, you could eat it.
Oh, maybe you
could eat, you could eat a lot of things. I could eat that table, but I wouldn't.
It might be money.
I need a final answer.
A jumper. No, I'm joking. Yeah. Should we go with money?
Okay, is it money, Steen?
It's money, yeah.
Ah!
That's 30 points, right?
It's a lira. It's like a gold coin wrapped in alfoil that she'll put in, and then she cuts it in segments, and then we go from the oldest to youngest, which slice of pizza you get to choose.
Ah.
And whoever gets it gets prosperity and wealth for the year.
The gift to the show. Do you have a question for the Hive Mind?
Yes. Yeah, so in Romania on Christmas Eve, most families kill somebody. Who do they kill?
What? What?
It's a real question.
On Romania on Christmas Eve, most families kill somebody. Yeah,
it's
who do
a
they
tradition,
kill?
Yeah.
It's a tradition.
You sound like Donald Trump describing the Mexicans.
What? Sorry, who do
you, get
who
points
they kill?
If nobody answers?
Hive Mind, who do they kill?
The turkey.
The turkey. Do they kill the turkey?
Satan.
The devil. Santa.
The oldest member of the family.
Euthanasia. The oldest member of the family has to go.
Anyone they want, like it's the purge or something.
It's a purge? Anyone they want?
It's a specific summer.
Okay. All right, Hive Mind. Fast now if you think it's the purge, anyone they want. Fast now if you think it's the oldest member of the family. Fast now if you think it's Santa. Fast now if you think it's Satan. Fast now if you think it's the turkey. Okay, I think you said Satan. Is that correct?
No, it's the family pig.
The family pig!
Each family traditionally grew their own pig and they murdered it at Christmas.
Oh, this is a sad story.
Yeah. No, because they get a new pig in January. Right.
I don't even know that's pleased Sarah Pascoe the vegan.
Everyone is shocked about the death of a pig. Have you seen Christmas? Have you seen every Christmas dinner? It's a dining room situated barnyard massacre.
But we don't go out
animals you don't even know. At least that animal like was loved.
No, but usually the pig has a name.
He had a name! He's a happy pig!
It seems wrong though to sort of festively celebrate the death of a pig. Alright, Hive Mind. Do you have a question?
In Sweden, on Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. what does everyone do at 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock
in the morning
afternoon.
Or afternoon?
Afternoon.
Christmas.
Well, I hope they give themselves a big round of applause for lots of their laws. For being an inspiration to us all.
This was on Christmas Eve, did you say?
Christmas Eve. We celebrate on Christmas Eve. We don't really do much.
Okay. Oh, a little trick question.
3 o'clock. So you're thinking it's something to do with food or something to do with presents, something to do with... Monarchy in Sweden. Is there a king or queen? Yes.
Gustav.
What's that?
Gustav. Isn't that the king of Sweden?
Gustav. Oh, so you all have a drink outside. You all go outside, you have a drink with Gustav, the king of the drink.
Do you go outside and have a drink? What is the answer?
No, we sit down and watch Donald Duck.
What? You sit down and watch Donald Duck.
Christmas Eve, 3 o'clock, every year wow. there's a TV special with Donald Duck.
Wow.
You check it out on Wikipedia.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
And it's the end of the round.
Team Ecuador are keeping it competitive with no points. The Gift of the Show have 30 points. And the Hive Mind have 55 points.
The next round is our World War II sexting round. During World War II, sweethearts sending each other telegrams would use acronyms to disguise the true nature of their communications because letters were being censored. So, for example, Norwich stood for Knickers Off, Ready When I Come Home. This is the round where we realise your sweet granny was keeping calm and talking utter filth. Teams, you have 30 seconds to guess the correct acronym while Mark Hodge packs up our troubles in his old kit bag. Points will be awarded for creativity. And the word is stardust. Stardust.
Thank you.
that's time. Gift to the show.
So we have suck Deet's ass really deep until Susie trembles. Also, we both came up with it. I'm not a weird, degenerate man.
Right, okay, great. It was a joint effort, team effort, yes. Team Ecuador, what have you got?
Sexy time and a raunchy dings under six times.
Under what?
Under six times.
So under at least, six times?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
At least five.
At least five.
Sarah?
I don't like this game. I think it's rude.
That's sort of the point.
I think it's a rude game.
It's a bit of a rude game.
Okay, sorry, I refuse to play. To teach you all a lesson about peer pressure. And going along with the crowd.
Okay, Sarah Pascoe is getting in early on the Smash the Patriarchy round by refusing to conform. Anybody in the audience? Yes?
Sexy times are ready. Don't unwrap Santa's toys.
Oh! Sexy times are ready. Don't unwrap Santa's toys.
See, that's nice. You used innuendo rather than...
You could have... You could have done that too, Sarah.
But I didn't have enough time.
Ned Sedgwick, the real answer is...
The real answer is still thinking and remembering, darling, unforgettable seconds together. So how filthy was that, Sarah?
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, the winners were the ones with the most filthy answers. So.
Right. You will get points for creativity on that one.
Yep,
and
yeah,
Ned will work out those points while we play the last round. The final round is the Smash the Patriarchy round. For our final round, we have just one question about a minority group who rose up and managed to overcome their hardships and throw off the yoke of oppression, also known as the stick it to the round man, because I sometimes get words in the wrong order. From which famous Grinch did the British public steal Christmas in 2009?
The actual Grinch.
The actual Grinch.
He's the most famous of all the Grinches.
He is.
He's got a movie.
He's a
Grinch. Dr. Seuss wrote many articles about him.
I think that's Dr. Seuss. That's a bit like
no, Satan. No, Zeus is in the Greek. He's a knockoff. He was a knockoff.
From which famous Grinch did the British public steal Christmas in 2009? Gift to the show.
Sadia.
It wasn't me.
So in Britain in 2009, something happened.
Okay, what was that?
Hive Mind.
Simon
yes.
Cowell.
Simon Cowell. Yes. What? How did that happen?
They voted for Rage Against the Machine for Christmas number one.
Well done, Hive Mind. That is correct. And it's the end of the show.
Team Ecuador finished as they started with 0 points.
Sorry, Sarah, but last time you won by miles.
I just wanted to
last time she didn't win and she shouted at me a lot.
To be fair, she should have won.
I don't remember. I just love to play.
The Gift of the Show have 50 points, but the Hive Mind have a record-breaking 75 points.
Wow! Did bring it home today, Hive Mind. You really did. Congratulations to the winners who successfully pillaged the globe like cultural Vikings, and kudos to the losers. Why did my script not end up in this? I wrote a new one for this and every single one, and none of them
it's
are
not
here.
Fine.
You wrote new ones for some and all.
I did. I wrote them for all. Fucking hell.
Did you write them with your tongue? Is that what it's I'm just going to lick this out.
Catalonian wooden logs to the winners, which will defecate out presents to you on Christmas morning, and frosty spiders to the losers, who will find their Christmas trees decorated in webs. Better than anything I could have written at home. Please give it up for Steve. Oh, shit. My tongue, I'm telling you, it's my tongue, I'm just too tired. Okay. Please give it up for Steen Raskopoulos. You've been the Hive Mind. Good night. You have been listening to Global Pillage, hosted and created by Deborah Frances White. The questions were sent by Ned Sedgwick. Music was by Mark Hodge. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The producer for the Spontaneity Shop was Tom Selinsky. Thanks to Zoe, Meta, Lauren, and everyone at King's Place. For more information about this and other episodes, please...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Visit globalpillage.net.